Yeah. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom to our friends and guests and listeners across the international community. Today's parsha comes from Leviticus 21, verse 1 to 24, verse 23. Now, in last week's parsha, we heard about an Israelite who cursed another Israelite using the divine name, YHVH, or some people say Yahweh. He cursed another Israelite using that divine name. He was taken out and he was stoned to death for it. And as a further result of his crime, explicitly mentioning the divine name became illegal to everyone other than the high priest. And that's mentioned in Leviticus 24, verse 10 to 23. Only the high priest would ever speak the divine four lesser name of God. And that was once a year on Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement. From this we learn something about God's relationship to human beings and to his laws that he institutes between himself and human beings, that it can be changed. This is one of the instances in the written law of Moses where a law is changed and a new one is introduced because of human behavior. Now, it's always been the Pharisaic and Sadducean view of the scripture that God never changes his Torah for anyone and it's all eternal and 100% and can never be moved. Now, the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. And as Yeshua said in Matthew 5, verse 17 to 20, and Luke chapter 16, verse 6, that not one dot and one commandment would become invalid from the law. So we hear these words of reinforcement about God's commandments and God's scriptures. However, in God's interaction with human beings, things change because of human circumstances, and God changes laws and introduces new ones based on those. So there's a fluidity, should I say. And we hear Rebbe talk about the fluidity of the word, and of scripture. It is fluid. It's set in stone. It was literally written in stone. But at the same time, we have God who has an ideal laws, an ideal view, a perfect, what we call a perfect, almost utopian structure. And here are the laws and the rules and the regulations and the teaching that would help human beings live in this amazing kingdom with these injunctions and statutes that would reflect his righteousness and his justice and his goodness and power. But we don't live up to them, and we can't live up to them, and we never have lived up to them because human beings are rebellious and human beings have sin. And it's interesting that everyone could use God's name, the divine name, YHVH at one point. But when this Israelite used it to curse another human being, it became illegal for anyone to ever mention God's name by name. You could call him Adonai, the Lord, or you could call him Elohim, God, or we all call him Abba, Father. But the divine four-letter name of God was not to be used by anyone. And keep in mind that if the high priest could use it on Yom Kippur, the high priest was to fast and stay awake all night. And you can find that in the Midrash and in the Jewish Talmud, that the high priest of the temple was not allowed to sleep on Yom Kippur night. He was to stay up all night before giving that sacrifice. So he was weakened, literally weakened at the knees, hungry, almost curled up in a ball as he went into the Holy of Holies with a heart broken. Only then at his weakest point could he use the divine name of God. Some people with their ideas of freedom throw the name of God around whenever they want. We've got the freedom to use this, not knowing the divine power and sanctity of that name. You've got others who maybe delve into mysticism and Kabbalah and they see the power in the name and they look for that power and they are part of that power, so they wield God's divine name with that power within them, but not the humility and the actual stillness and smallness inside that it takes to actually use the divine name. Now, I know in Colossians 2:14 to 16, Paul talks to people about don't be too worried about your observances of the new moons and the Sabbaths, you know, by the standards of others. These are shadows of the things that are to come. The reality, however, is found in Messiah. So we hear there's not a lot of judgment about some laws. You know, you do your best type of thing and you keep it, and don't be judged if you are or you're not. But when it comes to the divine name, this is something very different. This is something that should not be taken lightly. And as I said, I have witnessed a lot on blogs and in books and hearing different ministers wielding the divine name and using it at every 5 seconds. It's not to be conjured like that. It is so serious that it was illegal to speak the name, and you would be put to death if you said it, because human beings were not saying it and using the name of that literally created all things. And we, made in God's image, we can use that name to do things as well. The power that is in that name, but do we have the character to use it and the humility? And that's what it comes down to. The high priest was allowed to use that name because of the humility and the suffering that was conjured by the Yom Kippur fast. He was up all night again. He had to walk in there shaking, needing food, tired, worn out, and not wanting to sin before God, but instead wanting to offer up sacrifice and ask forgiveness for himself and the entire house of Israel. Okay? That's when he could use the divine name once a year. And it says in the Talmud, in the Tractate Yoma, from the Mishnah 2:6-7, the priests and the people who would stand in the forecourt of the temple, when they heard the ineffable name come forth from the mouth of the high priest, they would kneel and prostrate themselves and fall on their faces and say, blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. The very mention and pronunciation of the divine name of God led people to literally fall over on their faces in submission, in awe of his name, but also in fear from their own sin that beat against their own hearts. The divine name brings those things up. That human sin and hostility to God, hearing that name brings that up. So people fell on their faces. I do not want to sin. It was the first thing that Moses did when he saw the burning bush. It says he turned his face aside and said, I cannot look at this thing. Because humans, you know, have that feeling of we are unworthy or we are unclean deep down. Those who are repentant should. Anyway, when coming across something like that, it's only the Spirit of God that gives us the confidence to see him face to face, not ourselves. We have absolutely no right to look at him face to face without his Spirit leading us in that boldness and confidence. Yeah. Our own boldness and confidence, no. And that's what this Israelite did in this scripture. He cursed another human being using the divine name. It became illegal. However, Yeshua, and we've talked about this recently, Rebbe's brought it out in the John lectures, about Yeshua's use of the words, I am. And that's, of course, what the divine sacred name of God means, I am. I'm going to say Yahweh, I'm not going to pronounce it. And do I speak it? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do when I'm at that small point, when I'm connecting to God in nothing but pure love and humility. That's when I have spoken that name, and it's usually actually within my spirit because it's his name, and we're calling him the Father, Mother by his true name, okay? But it's a big deal, and I'm mentioning this because I'm so sick of seeing the disrespect. This is one thing that people shouldn't play with, and they do not understand, especially when they do not come from the biblical tradition and understand the importance of this. Yeshua used it. No one in Israel would use the divine name but the high priest, and Yeshua used it over and over again. Consider this, and you might want to look this up. We're going to look at Luke chapter 22, verse 71. The Lord tells the Sanhedrin in Luke chapter 22, verse 71, if I tell you, you won't believe me, and if I ask you, you will not answer, but from now on the Son of Man will be sitting at the right hand of power. They all said to him, does this mean then that you're the Son of God? And he answered them, you say, I am. Upon this they exclaim, why do we need another testimony? We have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. To call yourself the Son of God was not a crime that you could be killed for. But that's a fact in Jewish law. You could say you were going to be sitting at the right hand of power and coming back as the Messiah ruling with angels. It's not a blasphemy. They would simply call you mad. You don't get the death penalty for stating that. So why did he get the death penalty? Well, the Gospel of Mark is clear that the Lord pronounced the words I am, or Yahweh, during his confrontation with the temple authorities, and that's in Mark chapter 14, verse 62. If you want to just have a look at that, just take a note. If you haven't done it through the John lectures, I'm just going to mention a couple of them if you want to skip around and underline them, because it's very significant that these words are written here. Now, unfortunately, it's in Greek. All the ancient manuscripts we have are in Greek, but the Greek still says, I am. However, if it was written in Hebrew, the words that would be written would be Yahweh. That's how he answered them, with the divine name that only the high priest could say. Okay, so Mark chapter 14, verse 62. The Gospel of John tells us, I think most confidently, that this is exactly what was said and why he was arrested and why he was executed. If you go to John chapter 18, verse 6 to 9, this is the most important scripture to underline the significance of using God's name, God's divine name. And you better understand it because it's why he was executed under human law. John chapter 18, verse 6 to 8. When he said, I am, they went backward from him and fell on the ground. So he inquired of them once more, whom do you want? And they said, Yeshua the Nazarene. And Yeshua answered, I told you, I am. Do you see that? They went backward from him and fell on the ground when he answered them, I am. He didn't just say, I am, and they decided to just, go back and fall down on the ground in front of him because he said, I am. That doesn't make sense. They're going there to arrest him. Why did these temple priests and soldiers fall back on the ground with their faces on the ground? Why did they do that? Because he pronounced the divine name. They said, who are you? Who is Yeshua of Nazareth? Who do you want? And then he said it. And I will say it once, Yahweh. He said the sacred name directly to their faces. Keep that in mind. Read that again. John chapter 18, verse 6 to 8. When he said, I am, they went backward from him and fell on the ground. So he inquired of them one more time, whom do you want? And they said, Yeshua the Nazarene. And Yeshua answered, I told you, I am. Again, what I said from the Mishnah. And the priests and the people who were standing in the forecourt, when they heard the ineffable name come forth from the mouth of the high priest, they would kneel and prostrate themselves and fall down on their faces. That's exactly what the soldiers did when they came to arrest Yeshua. He had pronounced the divine name. He was under arrest for it. So it is for pronouncing the divine name which the Sanhedrin acts. Did they act within the law? Yes, they did. They totally acted within the law, because if you pronounce the divine name, you were to be executed. That's the Torah. The Torah states it. The Torah states it in this parsha. Does that mean Yeshua is guilty of a crime, though? He could not be the sinless Lord and Savior if he had committed a sin. Specifically, not one punishable by death, but he gave it to them. He gave them the one thing that they needed to hear. See, it wasn't that he said, I'm coming with the clouds of heaven, or I'm the Son of God. That's been going around for so long, and I've heard that in so many different theologies, whether it's Luther or some of the ancient Greek theologians, they seem to think that his use of the term Son of God, or his claim to be the Son of God, is what brought about his execution. It has nothing to do with it. It's that he used the divine name that only the high priest could, and he said it to the high priest while he was in trial. That's huge. Please understand how huge that is to stand among all the elders and scholars and priests of Israel in the Sanhedrin courts. They're all surrounding him. Yeshua stands there as a Davidic descendant before all of them and pronounces the divine name, and I would not be surprised if he looked the high priest of Israel in the face and said it. Because after he says, I am, they tear their clothes, they go into uproar, we don't need any more proof, look, listen, it's just come from his mouth. He said the divine name, he's making the high priest out to be not the high priest, because that's exactly what Yeshua was doing. and he handed himself to them on a platter. But because he was the Davidic promised Davidic Messiah, the Son of God, the divine one who could use the divine name, he was letting the high priest know, your job is finished. That's what he said. He was a challenge to all of them. Your job is finished. You no longer make atonement for the house of Israel. That was the high priest's one job, to speak the divine name and offer up sacrifices for the forgiveness of everybody's sins in Israel. Yeshua was stating to him, you no longer have a position. I will bring the forgiveness of the people of Israel and the world, and here's the proof. And he pronounced the divine name over him. I find this one of the most powerful points of scripture, because it's the turning point, and this is what separates Jews from Christians or Orthodox or Rabbinic and so forth, and mainstream Judaism or Judaisms from the Messianic or Nazarene faith, whatever you want to call it. This is the dividing line. Either you believe that the Sinai covenant continues and the high priesthood and so forth make atonement for the people, or you believe that God has finally fulfilled and sent his Messiah, the one bearing his divine name, who has done that for us. This is where it begins, right here at the Sanhedrin, in the courtroom. Who do you stand with? Who's the guilty ones, etc. This is where it all happens. We stand with Yeshua, full stop. He is the high priest. We believe in him, and that's where the turn and the change from Sinai covenant to new covenant is really instituted. And it's a powerful moment. One man stands before the entire establishment and says to them, your job's over. How amazing. They should have bent their knee. They should have all bent their knee and bowed to him and allowed the change in administration to take place. Malachi said that. The angel that you seek, the one whom you seek, the Lord shall come to his temple suddenly. But who can withstand the day of his coming? He will purify the sons of Levi so they will serve me in truth. He was right there in the Sanhedrin standing before them. The one who was to do what Malachi said. And instead of getting on their knees, they grabbed him and stoned him and handed him over to be executed. But that's what needed to happen. Otherwise, we would not have that forgiveness. And of course, to prove the point, when he was crucified, the veil in the Holy of Holies that kept man from God. And the veil, or parochet, is sin. The parochet is the symbol of human sin. That only the high priest would be transported through once a year on Yom Kippur, where he spoke that divine name. Yeshua proved it in his death. There was no longer a need for a sacrifice for sins. It's torn in two. Where does that leave a third temple and the offerings that would be given in the third temple? All their grace offerings and thanksgiving offerings, the things that God enjoyed, the aromas and the songs and the spiritual worship. That's what will continue, but there will be no more sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. That's been done once and for all, forever. Any temple that comes on this earth must be under the divine rulership of God and his son Yeshua the Messiah. And that's what this parsha and what Yeshua did concerning this parsha, one of the most powerful moments in our holy scripture, can be found in John 18, verse 6 to 8, and Yeshua before the Sanhedrin. This is the day we stand with him as the accused, but also as the ruler and the one who was to take position over that Sanhedrin and rule it. And we look forward to that day of his return when he shall. Shabbat Shalom.